Happy Sabbath, church family. All right. Happy Sabbath, Garland. Praise the Lord. Wait, Sister Wilson, good to see you. It's been a little bit. Hope you're doing all right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope you're happy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Sister Faith and all the Elder Errol and all those who led out in our worship service today. I want to welcome those who are joining us online. I want to welcome all of our members and friends. Amen. If you're visiting here for the first time, just wave at me if you can. Just give me a little wave. That's all right. All right. Thanks for coming. And I hope so far you've been receiving the blessings of the Lord. And the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I just want to say, for all of our young adults, we had our first young adult Sabbath school class today, right? Amen. And in fact, there was breakfast. Amen. My wife brought me a little touch of it. Thank you so much. Brother Adam and others are really working with that, and we want to thank you, Brother Adam, Sister Zoya. Oh, yes, Elder Errol, Sister Alicia. And listen, if you're at the age, what 18 to 30. 18 to what? 30. Let me just ask, do you know what time church begins? You know the best time to be at church is before 9:45. Amen. Amen? Amen? You want to receive the full blessings of the Lord? Why settle for a partial blessing? Huh? Just come and just receive it all. Amen. And be blessed. Today, I would like you to join me in the scriptures in 2 Samuel. The title of the sermon today Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom. A servant of Edom. A servant of Edom. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'll be reading. I'm going to read from verse 6. Pause at verse 10. The Bible says, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me. So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, you're truly an amazing God. The one and only true God, along with your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Today, on this Sabbath day, we are here in your temple. And the sole reason why we're here, Father, is really to express our worship, our thanksgiving, and our love to you. You deserve the highest praise. You alone are worthy. Father, today we come with different needs as well, because we believe that you are the infinite one. And so, Father, we are asking that you be present in our struggles, be present in our challenges. Father, we ask for your presence to be in our homes. We're asking for victory from you, Father, because you're the only one we can turn to. As we open your word today, we're giving you full access to our hearts and our minds. And we're asking that you would just take full control and teach us. And may, as we hear your words today, may we not only hear them, but may we be blessed by them in such a way that we will allow the Holy Spirit to foster the changes that you desire. Father, I present all that I am into your hands with the sole purpose of you speaking to me and through me. And may, as we all hear your words together, may we be blessed by them. But Father, may we be changed in the process as well, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Obed-Edom. The name Obed means servant. Edom is a place within the Bible. This is a very unique brother. In fact, he's actually from the same place where Ittai, you remember him, was from. But you cannot really tell the story of Obed-Edom without somehow linking to him the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is so much a part of his journey here on planet Earth. And so I would like to first look at that briefly. What that is, what was the purpose for it. I know there are so many different historical things that have been written about the ark. Some people say they know where the ark is today, although they can't show it. But the Ark of the Covenant was a part of God's salvation plan for humanity. You see, God is to me, he's like a, I would say maybe a third grade teacher as well. He teaches at all grade levels, and he loves to use, I would say, things that can help us to understand what spiritual things look like and mean. Because to human beings, spiritual things cannot be understood without his help. Are you with me? And so one of the things that God did for his people in ancient time was to give them a replica of what he's actually doing in heaven. And so he told Moses to tell his people to make him a what? A sanctuary, so that I may dwell with them. God wanted to teach his people the steps that he's actually going through, and actually the steps that they will have to actually go through in order to be victorious and to be able to overcome sin in this life. And so he gave them an image. He gave them a sanctuary, I would say. And that sanctuary was divided into three compartments. The first part was never covered. It was simply a courtyard where people could go. And each time they would sin, they were told to bring a lamb, an offering, a sin offering. And that lamb should be perfect without any blemish. And they were told to bring that into the courtyard, the first area of this sanctuary, and place their hands upon this lamb and confess their sins. Are you with me? The mere fact that someone would actually take a lamb into the sanctuary for this, it means that they were expressing full faith in the God of heaven. Are you with me? When they confessed their sins on the lamb, the sins would be transferred from them into the lamb. Are you with me? In fact, when that was done, the lamb was slain, the blood was collected by the priest, and then the person turned around, went back home, completely forgiven. In other words, God was teaching people, if you desire to make it into the kingdom of heaven, you must repent of your sins. You must confess them to me. Are you with me? I'm the only one who can deal with it completely. I know how to remove that guilt from you. I know how to make you have full confidence in me as God that you are righteous in my sight, completely forgiven, clean, and I will never use that sin against you ever again. Hallelujah. Each time that happened, people would turn around and go home clean, forgiven, and in a right relationship with God. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise the Lord. And that will happen over and over and over daily in the temple. But the sin was simply transferred to the what? To the blood, wouldn't you say? To the animal, and then the animal was killed, the blood was collected, the sin now was in the blood. Hallelujah. The blood of the lamb was now bearing the sin of the person. Are you with me? Hallelujah. That blood was taken into the sanctuary, into the first compartment of the sanctuary. And then once a year, there was a service held called the Day of Atonement, when once a year, all that blood that was collected within the sanctuary, God said, I will cleanse the sanctuary on that day. And there was a process that they would all have to go through on that day where the sanctuary was cleansed. In the third compartment of the sanctuary, the final compartment, the ministry of cleansing the sanctuary was taking place every single year. A special ministry in that third compartment. That's the part I wanted to spend a little time on, because that's the part that's actually very important to our study today. Because in the third compartment, guess what was in there? The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. What is that? In the third compartment, that's where the very presence of God was. It was called the Shekinah glory. God's presence was right there. And so no wonder why the Israelites, they were told to take that sanctuary with them wherever they go. Because the presence of the Lord was in the sanctuary with them. Are you following, folk? Amen. In that third compartment with the Ark of the Covenant. But there was a time in Israel when the Philistines went to battle with Israel, and guess what happened? They took the Ark of the Covenant out of the temple, and they had it with them for years. But God is so amazing, because during the time they had the Ark of the Covenant, don't forget that who was there with them. The presence of the Lord was in there. Are you with me? And so during that time, the Lord inflicted many different plagues upon the people, upon the Philistines. I mean, they should have known that, hey, listen, don't try to mess with the God of heaven. Are you with me? Which was exactly what they were doing. Disease was poured out upon them, all kinds of plagues, until the Philistines realized, hey, listen, we are in big trouble. We have messed with something we had no business touching. Are you with me? And so they devised a plan to send back the ark to Israel. And so they put it on a cart and send it back to Israel for sure. Ooh. They captured the ark. God sent plagues upon them. They sent it back to Israel. And when the ark was recovered back then by a man by the name of Abinadab, and the ark was sent to his house first. Are you with me? This man called Abinadab. The ark was sent to his house. And the Philistines, they were happy, because now they corrected their mistake. Are you with me? They sent the ark back to Israel. And it was sent to Abinadab's house. King David, when he became king, he came and took the ark from this man's house. It was there for about 20 years. And King David went and took it out of the house of Abinadab. And his plan was to take it back to Jerusalem where it belonged. Are you with me? And so this began a journey of a serious mistake by David. Because David had them doing the same thing that the Philistines did. There's only a certain group of people who God appointed to touch that ark. If you weren't appointed by the Lord and anointed by Him to touch that ark, guess what? Say it, Elder. That's how serious it was. But sure enough, the ark was, David decided to transport the ark back to Jerusalem. And on its way, on that fateful journey, the ark tipped over. And there's a man by the name of Uzzah. I mean, I feel bad for Brother Uzzah. I can see why King David felt bad too. Because the ark is tipping over, it's falling. Let me ask you, what would you do? You're standing right there. So Uzzah saw it falling. Uzzah reached out and grabbed hold of it to stop it. And the Lord struck him dead. He should have known better. Because in Israel, that was a major thing for everyone to know about. How sensitive the Lord was towards this ark where His presence was. Because of that, David felt so fearful. Didn't know what to do, really. And so you know what came to his mind? And I don't know, the Bible doesn't really share much about Obed-Edom before this text. Are you with me? And so we don't really know what the relationship of Obed-Edom and David might have been before this text, this text we're about to read here. But something came upon David that made him say, you know what, let's take the ark to Obed-Edom's home. Let's go back to the text there in 2 Samuel chapter 6, right? Yeah. It said, so David would not move the ark of the Lord in verse 10 with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of who? Of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Wow. It is a little hop to get to this spot, but I'm thankful that you're with me. Because now the ark is coming to this man's home. I want you to just consider being Obed-Edom right now. Are you with me? Just consider, just for a little bit. Uzzah just died from touching this ark. Are you with me? And I don't imagine, I really don't imagine that this brother's house was a six-bedroom mansion. Are you with me? I'm thinking that it's a regular Jewish home that was on the small side. I wonder where would he fit such an ark? But the word went around that Uzzah died just by touching this thing. And now David is bringing it into his home. In fact, this brother, his heritage was from Philistine. He was a Gittite, right? And so I'm sure he knew about the many plagues that God poured out upon his own people. Because they had this thing within their midst. But this brother, with all that was happening with this ark, when David brought it to him, this brother opened his door. David, bring it in. Bring it in. Are you with me, folk? The first thing we should know about Obed-Edom is that this brother welcomed the presence of God in his home. Bring it in. David and his men brought the ark into Obed-Edom's home, and it was there for 90 days. 3 months. In his living room. I wonder what he did every day with this ark. The only thing I can imagine is that this brother knew that the presence of God was there. And so it offered him and his family an awesome opportunity to just worship. Are you with me? Can you imagine knowing that the presence of the Lord is in your living room? You get up in the mornings out of your bed, and the first thing, joy just fills your heart because you know that God is in my living room. And I can just go there and begin my day in worship and in praise. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, the more I think about it, I see this brother making sure, I don't know what his living room might have been like, if it was dirty before or messy at some point. But I can tell the moment the presence of the Lord came in, it was shiny. I can see the floors. You can probably see a face by just looking at the floor. He made sure the place was spick and span. He had the incense going so it smelled nice. He prepared the place and made sure that God was welcomed in his home. Whew. The more I think about that, is the more I consider our Savior Jesus. Just think about it. Welcoming us. Come unto me, all those who are what? Weary and heavenly laden. And I will give you what? Rest. Come, just abide with me. Spend time in my presence. Get to know me, your God, the one who can do the impossible, the one who can take away the guilt and shame from a person's life, the one who can set people free from the bondages of sin. I mean, Jesus is just inviting people to somehow give him a chance. When all else fails, will you welcome me in? If I come and I knock, will you open the door? Will you give me a chance? This is the story of God's plan of salvation right before the people. God wants to come into the homes of every human being's heart. He wants to step into our private places. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what he's about. He wants to go into those places where only you and him know about. And he wants to come in and he wants to sup with us. He wants to spend time with his people. I wonder if there's somebody here today, maybe watching or in the sanctuary, that needs to open the doors of their heart to King Jesus. I wonder if there's an Obed-Edom here this morning who is willing to say, Lord, come into my private places. Step into my closet. Come and know everything about me. Whew, this brother welcomed God in his home. You know, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, know the Lord, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's what? The Bible says there's liberty or freedom. That word there has the idea, I like how the Amplified put it. It says emancipation from bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is emancipation from bondage. I want to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the truth is, we did, as a pastor, I must confess, I don't know if confess is the right word, but I must say, on a regular basis, as a pastor, you work with people who are struggling in one area or another. And they're really seeking help. Many times they have tried so many things, and nothing seems to work. Nothing seems to work. The only place I've seen where changes are made in the hearts of people when it comes to addiction and challenging circumstances is when the person decides to try Jesus. I've never seen it where, over all these years of ministry, working with people and see true victory takes place when they try the world. Never seen it. I've only seen it when they fall upon their knees and cry out to Jesus, Lord, I need your help or I will fail. Are you with me? Jesus is the answer, my friends. His presence is what we need. Amen. That's where the solution lies. And I'm not saying we can't use help from other people and help from different places, but we must start with Jesus. Amen. We must welcome his presence in our world. Hallelujah. Amen. This brother had a history of being a Gentile, and he knew so much more than the Jews. You're going to find out what happened to this brother when he chose to have God in his heart. In fact, the only way I see a home come together that's been separated by sin and all kinds of madness is when the family decide to come to Jesus. Are you with me? Relationships come together when people choose Jesus. Hearts that were broken, relationships that's been separated, can be healed if both parties choose to invite Jesus in their heart. That's where solutions to our problems are solved. It's all spiritual, I should say. And this brother, Obed-Edom, is teaching us a valuable lesson. Begin with Jesus. Invite him into your private space. Talk to him. like you talk to your doctor. Talk to him like you talk to your counselor. Are you with me? Why talk to doctors and counselors and never have a word with Jesus? That's a losing formula. You spend time with Jesus and you never stop talking to him. It says, come you who are blessed of my Father and inherit the kingdom of the world. Oh my, my. But Obed-Edom, I'm going to come back to this text. So if you want to put a finger right there and hold it, skip over to 1 Chronicles for me. Because not only did he first welcome the Lord in his heart, in his private places, in his home, this brother was a man of service. A man of what? Let's go to 1 Chronicles. Let me see, verse 26. It's chapter 26, sorry. Thank you. Chapter 26. 1 Chronicles, chapter 26. And you'll find where throughout, you'll see Obed-Edom being mentioned also in 1 Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles, and the text that we just read in 2 Samuel. But look at this text here. I'm going to read from verse 1 concerning the divisions of the gatekeepers of the Korahites. Are you going to allow me just to skip some of these names for a little bit? Huh? Bear with me, all right? There's a certain name that I'm searching for, all right? Who are the gatekeepers, my sis? They were the gatekeepers. And now let's go to verse 4. Moreover, the sons of who? Were Shemaiah, the firstborn, and he listed all 8 of his sons. Are you with me? All 8. And then verse 8, all these were the sons of Obed-Edom, they and all their sons and their brethren, able men with strength for the work. 62 of what? This brother, when he had God in his heart, God used him in such a way, this man's life was now a life of service. In fact, when it says 62 of Obed-Edom, this man replicated himself 62 times. Can you imagine? I mean, this was a Gentile doing the work of the Jews. And he's actually strengthening God's kingdom by strengthening the message of the sanctuary. He's there as a doorkeeper now. Yes. Are you with me? He was keeping the ark in his house. Now when the ark went to Jerusalem, he says, I got to be right there in the presence of the Lord. Lord, they took you away, but I'm coming. Yes. Are you with me? I want to be right in your presence every single day of my life. There's a reason why, you know, Obed-Edom wanted to be wherever the ark was. So when David moved it finally to the city, he's right there. And you know what? He had all of his sons and all of the people he could find to come and join him to take care of this ark. He saw how valuable it was to the Lord. Whoo! And so he would rather than give his life to the world, he would rather give his life for the service of the Lord. And he had 62 of him now helping with the sanctuary. This is a good brother. We learn about Peter, John, Mark, you know, all the disciples. But there's so much we can learn from this brother. Some of us hearing about his name for the first time. When you think about what I'm going to name my child? Ah. Don't forget this brother called Obed-Edom, the Gittite. I mean, I remember when I was baptized in college, it wasn't too long after, it really wasn't, but I was discipled by a man of God. And one day he came to me and he said, "Sean, I'd like you to prepare a sermon for the Lord." Do you know that's one of the worst things you could have asked me back then? If you ever knew my life back then, me standing before you right now, that's a sheer miracle. Sheer miracle. Have you ever been so nervous you can't move? That was me talking to people. Are you with me? But somehow, he helped me through that first sermon. Day after day, we would talk about it, and he would help me through it step by step. It wasn't too long after I was baptized that I preached my first sermon. The brother shared a quote with me that I never forgot. Strength to resist evil is best gained through aggressive service. Ellen G. White. Strength to resist evil is best gained through aggressive service. One of the worst things you could do is to play around with the temple of the Lord and join your life with the temple of the Lord and only come to church on Sabbath. Do you know what? You're robbing your spiritual life of so many blessings when you're not involved in the work of God's temple. The blessings are right here. They are gifts that God bless you with that I need. Are you with me? And so if we don't unite ourselves with the church, then you're going to see who is losing. Being just a worshiper don't cut it with God. We have to be involved in the temple and the work of God in the temple. The ministry that goes out from this temple. We don't just receive from the temple. We also give our lives for God in the temple. And that's how we receive the blessings from the Lord. There's so many blessings that we are robbing ourselves when we settle for less. This brother welcomed God in his life and then went to work for God in his temple. Gave everything he could for the Lord. Well, look at how his life finished. His life story. He welcomed God in his life. He went to work for God on God's mission. And then look what happened to this brother. Look what happened. Let's go back now to the Second Samuel, our last text here. Second Samuel. Now let's read verse 11. Let's read verse 11. I'm going to start back from verse 10. Second Samuel chapter 6, and I'm in verse 10. The Bible says, "So David would not what? Move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed Edom the Gittite." How long? "And the Lord blessed Obed, and all is what? In fact, it was a generational blessing. I mean, this blessing was deep. And because of his service for the Lord, the blessing wasn't just for him. Are you with me? It was every single person within the house where the Ark of the Covenant was. Are you with me? Everybody received a blessing, a generational blessing. This is as if we should all come to this affirmation. When it comes to God, he has his way of doing stuff, and we can do whatever we want to do, but we'll never touch these blessings. We'll never ever experience them until we somehow align our lives back to what he wants us to do. Are you with me? That's how he functions. And God has this mysterious way about him where he'll just allow us to go and wander for 40 years. Yeah, just wander around for 40 years. And he'll just be there waiting for us to just turn. What a God. Obed-Edom's family was tremendously blessed. I just wonder, if there's somebody here who would like to say, Lord, I want to be like Obed-Edom. I want to give all my life over to you, whether I'm young, middle age, or older. I am welcoming you into my heart today. 100%. And I'd love for you to come and live with me. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, I've been with the Lord for so many years. But you know what? I really like this life of Obed-Edom because it resembles a life that I'm very familiar with. The life of Jesus Christ, who gave all that he had, every strength, over to the work of the Father. The work that I do, Jesus would say, is the work of the Father. The work that he did, the life that he lived, was 100% for his Father. There was never an instant where his work, his life was lived, where he was sitting on the fence. Never an instant. It was always committed to his Father, 100%. He welcomed the Father in his heart, and he lived a life of service. And you know what? Was Jesus blessed? Come on, y'all. On the third day, was he blessed by the Father? And because he received that blessing from the Father, listen, Jesus is now ready to be such a blessing to every person who is willing to give him a chance. Who is willing to say, Lord, I have sinned in my life, and today I'm choosing to repent of it. I'm choosing to receive your grace. Forgive me of it, Lord. And maybe there's someone today whose lifestyle is more of coming to church, but never really getting involved. Maybe the word of the Lord is speaking to you today as well, and saying, the best place to be, the best place to serve, is with me in my temple. Come be a doorkeeper. Do you know Obed-Edom was also a singer? I mean, I can't imagine that. This brother would do anything for the Lord. Amen? But maybe you want to say, Pastor, as I speak with the Lord, how can I get involved? There are some people, there's some sister Faith, they're gifted musicians. Play awesome music for the world. I wonder if you're here today and you see that maybe we could use, or maybe the Lord could use that gift right here in his temple. Hallelujah. I mean, the other day we had to be calling an electrician to come fix something on God's property. And we might have electricians in our church, plumbers, carpenters. I like that. People who cut trees. But the truth is, they bless the world because the world come back and sure enough blesses them, but it's nowhere close to what the blessings of the God might look like if we come and give it to his temple. And you will never know unless you try. The blessings would be there, but it will never fall upon us unless we decide to be all in. I want to close with what our Lord and Savior Jesus did. Because like Obed-Edom, he gave his all for us. For us. He did. And it made it possible so any human being who desired to have their sins forgiven, one person said, to be a Christian is really just being brainwashed. And the person he was saying that to responded, you are right. My brain is now washed and all the sin is now gone. It's been cleansed. So I'm brainwashed by Jesus. And his blood, it's washed by his blood. And my mind has been set free from all the guilt and shame of sin. Hallelujah. Amen. And now I'm promised an eternal life with him. Amen. I mean, anybody want to be brainwashed with the blood of Jesus? Amen. That's what he's offering today, you know. In the month of March, we'll be having a baptism. We already have people being prepared for that. If you're here today watching online, you've never been baptized. Never been baptized. But today, maybe the Lord is speaking to your hearts. And maybe he's saying, would you welcome me in? I'm the only one who can come into your world. and do a work that will set you free. If you'd like to be baptized, I'm going to ask you just to speak with me. Would love to connect you with people in this church, and also myself, would be more than willing to prepare you for that day. Are you with me, friends? Maybe you're here today and you just want to say, Lord, I thank you. I ask for your blessing of forgiveness upon me. And I just want, Father, for you to strengthen my faith in such a way that I can be like this brother Obed-Edom, living with you, with your presence, every single day. I don't know where this message finds you, but if you want to just jump up out of your seat and stand and say, hallelujah, Lord, receive me and bless me. In Jesus' name, I'm going to invite you just to stand and receive the blessings of the Lord upon your life. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads there. Heavenly Father, the stories of old were given to be a source of blessings, encouragement, and a vehicle to carry the gospel message. To the hearts and minds of people who desperately need it. And such is the case right here at Garland on this Sabbath day. Because the story of this man, Obed-Edom, sure does resonate today in the minds of your people. To see a man brought out of a Gentile experience brought out of a place that seek the destruction of your people, but brought to a place, Father, where his one desire was to be always in your presence at all times. I just ask, Father, that you would be with the person today who is seeking your forgiveness and grace. I ask in the name of Jesus that you just answer their prayer and wash and cleanse them from all unrighteousness and set them free from the guilt and shame that they've been experiencing. Give them this hope, Father, in their heart, whereby they can live each day knowing that as long as they keep you in their presence, that the only result of such a relationship is a life filled with the satisfaction of living with your blessings upon them. Shower your blessings upon your people today. Your blessings of power to overcome sin. Your blessings of healing. I pray, Father, that you will shower your blessings of love in the hearts of everyone here today, so that love may flow through the homes represented, and so that people may experience and live the life that you have called us to live. And Father, I ask that for those we are working with, moving them to a place where they can see life lived in your presence here, Father, not only in their homes, but here in your temple, being an integral part of what happens here, putting time and effort with making this place be what it ought to be for the people and for the community. Father, may they see that they have a place here with you, and that there's a part that you're moving them to play. You have equipped them well. You have blessed them, Father, with the gifts and talents. Now I pray that you just move their hearts where they can be like Obed Edom and live a life of complete service to you. So we commit all, Father, of this in your hands. We ask that you, as we receive your word, that you move us, Father, throughout the week, where we can live it by your power and by your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.